Hey everybody, good evening and welcome to another episode of Citizen Kane, streaming to you live on YouTube from beautiful, chilly Keene, New Hampshire. It is the 4th of December, 2016, and you can catch us every Sunday night between 7 and 8 p.m. on the YouTube channel. The link to that stream can be found on our webpage, citizenkane.org, or on our Facebook page, same name. If you would like to call in during that time period, number to call is 267-521-2771, or of course you can Skype us. Citizen Kane is the handle. You can email me directly, show@citizenkane.org, and drop me some articles or input or opinion or whatever. Would like for you guys to call, but that's all right if you don't, because we've got plenty to talk about. My name is Conan Soliday, and joining me, as usual, the lovely Shauna Nash, who was going to wear glasses this evening. I think that would have been the first time.
Yep.
But she said she was, her contacts, they're giving her, what were they, giving you a headache or making your eyes itch, or are they just what, they weren't working?
They hurt, and I have them on right now, but I'm pretty sure I don't have the looks to skate by on personality, so contacts it is.
You know what you need, don't you? You need to get you some of that laser surgery.
Too early for cyberpunk these days.
So, Shauna's taking one for the team. She says she's got to, she can't do the, what, kind of the, what's the girl in Scooby-Doo? The nerd.
I don't know, I hate Scooby-Doo.
Oh, Dana Carvey as well with his glasses. So, Wayne's World. Garth. She looked like Garth just a while ago, and I didn't say it. She said it. She says, nope. Wow. I'm going to take one for the team. I'm just going to have to get used to some pain for an hour. That's all right.
Exactly what I meant. I said I don't have the personality to skate by.
The show is already painful enough, and so she's also doing the whole eyes thing. So let's get right to it.
Might as well now.
Let's start with this charter employee evaluation policy. This is something that went through the Finance Organization Personnel Committee earlier last month, or middle of last month. And it kind of blew up at the last city council on Thursday.
Charter is the piece of paper that incorporates Keene as a city entity.
Charter is like the rules of the city. Those are where all the ordinances get stacked, get put. The same usage of the word charter, but these are the actual, there's three officers who I guess are responsible for that charter. They're responsible for following it and, you know, working with it.
Those would be
the city manager, the city clerk, and the city lawyer.
Okay, so they're the only three employees of the city?
No. Those are the head employees, and they take direct orders from the city council and the mayor. Oh, and the police chief as well.
No, they don't.
Well,
no, I mean I've seen city council meetings. You said the mayor, the city attorney, and who else? The city clerk.
The city clerk.
Okay, because I've seen city council meetings where any wording of anything that they want to do, even like a motion, they're kind of asking these three people off to the side.
Yeah, because
like, can we do this? Well, that's illegal. No,
but that's not the. It's not the same as asking permission to do something. They're asking legality and wording, and does this even make sense? And it's like we're handing. This is going to be. You're going to be working with this. Is this something you guys can work with? Understand? It is even legal.
When it comes to listening to them word out a motion to like stop talking about what they're talking about, it's gives as a viewer, as a dumb citizen slave of Keene who doesn't know anything and, you know, didn't go to all the meetings and I'm watching it, it comes across to me as if they're like the princes of the city who know everything, and the city council doesn't, it gives the impression that they don't really belong there because they don't know anything.
I'm going to give them a little bit of credit in that they don't
I mean,
they don't work
it's,
at the, in the city 24/7. This is something they do after hours. They're not getting a paycheck.
Right.
They haven't been there as long as some. I think.
I mean, it's good that they're asking, and they do tell them, "No, that's illegal," and then they stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just giving my impression of what it looks like.
I think
so. I don't know any of this. Tell me about it.
So, anyways, in the past, all right. So these are employees of the city. Like any employee, there needs to be a way to evaluate their progress, make sure they're on the straight and narrow and they're doing their job. Like you said, these are the kings, these princes, the princes of the city.
You just said they aren't. They're just employees of the city.
How do you evaluate the princes of the city? And that would be left to
their boss.
The city council. Now, there's not really an ordinance in the charter that explains definitely how that is done. In the past, it's been handled by the FOP committee,
mm-hmm.
By the chairman, and he's put together, Greenwald is the current chairman, and this has been going on, you know, well, way before him. He puts together a packet every year, and it usually involves the entire council getting together and grilling these guys.
Grilling the three employees.
It starts at the FOP committee, starts with the chairman, and then because a lot of this has to do with quorum and that you can't actually have these meetings without minutes being taken. You can have like a closed meeting, but you can't have like the FOP committee can't get together and grill a charter employee, a charter officer, without minutes being taken.
That kind of makes sense, I guess.
So, and on top of that, the evaluation process is different from every chairman, every FOP chairman, and every year. It just changes up. There's no real formal policy. This, which was brought to the city, was an attempt to fix that. The problem is, and this is something that Terry Clark jumped all over, is that it takes a lot of the transparency out of the picture in that...
Their attempts to formalize the process or the formal process that they're bringing about?
It's both. It's making a formal process. So this is A, B, C, D. This is how you do it every time. But mm-hmm. it's informal in that it doesn't require minutes to be taken.
Their planning of the A,
so
B,
it's
C, D.
So it's done behind closed doors. And no one knows what's going on. Now, the counselors can submit written input. Like if they know something about candidate A and they have something to say about it, they have to submit written input to their chairman, who gives it to the FOP chairman. But no one gets to see that except the cheerleaders. And that's a big issue that Terry noticed. And I kind of agree with him that if in the past the entire city council was available to ask questions and there was a back and forth, there mm-hmm. was a discussion between the city council and the employees, that kind of makes sense, but it can get messy. Could you imagine if every evaluation you had at your work, all 15 of your bosses were there, or you had 15 bosses and they were all in the room and it was just you sitting in a little chair and they're all around you, you know, in a circle?
I go to any job and pretty much, you know, I go to any room at my job right now and everybody's my boss, so...
Well, that's just because where you are on the pecking order and the learning.
So it's not that uncommon to a lot of people.
So all right. So I'm going to start with Clark and what he's noticed, and then I'm going to go to some other videos.
Hold on. Is his criticism of the process to evaluate the three employees, or is it of the making of the process to evaluate these employees?
The new process itself,
not in the making of the process.
The lack of transparency in the new process.
The new process. So they have the new process to evaluate these three employees.
Which is informational, right. And it's not really, this is something else that got noticed. It's an informational policy. Not even an ordinance, because it's experimental and they're just seeing how it works.
Okay,
so starting off with Counselor Clark.
This is not how I think this should be happening. First of all, when this was brought...
Oh, and by the way, I just wanted to note, I did condense this. I didn't remove anything, but I squeezed it together because there was lots of ahs and ums and pauses, and it was just, it would have been 6 minutes if I hadn't have done that. So, no, I didn't take anything out, but I did condense it.
This is not how I think this should be happening. First of all, when this was brought before the Finance Committee in July 14th, it was put on more time to the 28th. It didn't come back up on the 28th. This process that you see here was written in the dark without discussion by any of you. Or if it was any of you, it wasn't done in the public light. We are supposed to be open. Our deliberations are supposed to be open. When we go behind the cloak in non-public session to discuss personnel matters or legal matters and such like that, that's what we do according to the statutes and how they allow us to do that. This was not done that way. I came to the committee last week to amend this, and I was told I could not amend this because this was not an action item. This was an information item. This was something that wasn't discussable in public. There's something wrong here. Now, I understand that we don't want to go through the embarrassing kind of a meeting like we had last year. Now, I can't go into it because that was non-public. But this isn't the way to remedy that. We have to stay open and accessible to the public. Going forward with this plan here, we're going to be out of the public eye. There's not going to be any official meetings. There's not going to be any minutes that are even held non-public. I think that I have a proposal that will meet the needs of what the concerns in the background that we have here that we can't talk about right now, but we need to discuss them in public. So I move that we put these both items, my proposal and this proposal here by, I'm not even sure who it's by, collaborative, back to committee so that they can be discussed in the open. And then we can decide what we need to do and what process we need to do, rather than to have it done how it was done in July, August, September, October. I don't know what was going on back then, because I was not involved in this collaboration of participants that's been discussed. And I think we need to do that. And if we need to do it in non-public, then let's do it legally in non-public. Let's just not talk about these things and create policies behind everybody's back without everybody knowing about what's going on.
Okay, so there you have it. Written by a select few.
Well, he has me convinced.
I don't know how many of the chair members were involved, but HR lady Beth was involved, mayor, the actual charter members themselves, probably just the mayor, but you know, the lawyer and the clerk might have been involved as well. And this was back in July. This was brought up in July, and then it kind of just disappeared. And then
it showed up again,
and then Clark actually had some amendments, but he wasn't able to do any of that because it was an informational piece and not an action piece.
They were involved in what?
In the creation of this policy, which I'm going to bring up right now.
What? Wait, what?
I'm going to bring the policy. I'm going to actually show you the...
I thought the policy was to how to do employee evaluations for those three. And you're saying they were involved in the creation of their own employee evaluation. Yeah.
Wait. Anyway, it says it on this actual it says it somewhere in here. But yeah, they were involved in their own evaluation process.
The charter office, yeah, working collaboratively, various members of city council, standing committee chairs, and the charter officers.
Develop the performance management process, identifying actions and responsibilities, incorporating tools, So here's the actual flow chart. It starts with HR. HR says, all right.
Of course it does.
So-and-so is due for an eval in 30 days. Yeah, 30 days prior to anniversary. She sends it to the FOP chair, which is Greenwald. And then he sends this two different ways. He sends it to all... he invites inputs from all the city councilors. So he says, all right, city councilors, this is taking place.
Yeah.
If you've got something to say, you've got 10 days to send me written written notice. He also sends the evaluation to be filled out to the charter member that is being evaluated. And he fills that out and says, you know, all of the things that are, these are my plans, these are my goals, this is how I feel that I've done, da-da-da-da-da. It's a typical eval. But like I said before, and Clark's going to talk about it in another vid, the problem is that before you could see what all of your peers were saying.
The other city councilors were saying?
Yeah.
About this one employee.
You can see what the other city councilors were saying. You can also see what the charter employee was saying.
Okay.
Now the only person who gets to see that is the FOP chair, and I believe he's the only one to see it.
He's the only one who sees what the employee writes about himself?
And what all the counselors wrote about the charter employee. They used to be open.
Other city councilors can't share their notes?
No.
Or conspire against this employee?
They can conspire. They can behind closed doors do that, but that would be conspiratorial.
Okay.
So this is the...
How is it conspiratorial now? Through this? Because I'm reading it and I'm trying to...
It's less transparent. There are not enough eyes on these employees that are supposed to be directly under all of the counselors.
Okay.
At least the FOP committee, which is their job. It doesn't actually say it in the charter,
okay. But
they do have personnel in their title.
Uh-huh.
And that's another concern that Terry has. You're taking our jobs from us. Took our jobs. So, of course, I'm going to talk about the 91A thing too. Where is that at? Defends. Okay, this is Greenwald on why, one of the reasons why they're doing it this way, because it makes it easier.
Back on this right to know situation, the meeting of the committee chairs and mayor does not constitute a public meeting. And therefore, it doesn't bring in all the 91A requirements. So just to wrap it up again, it's very important that all counselors participate in the process by submitting responses and written comments.
Okay, so the problem they were having before were the minutes. Because there was a certain amount of counselors in the same room, they had to record the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had the other charter employees doing the minutes. So the lawyer would be up and the city clerk would be right doing the minutes. And the mayor said he did it for a whole 2 years. So they're actually in the same room with someone else's eval. So that's a problem. How they're trying to solve that is just have the chair members, the mayor, and the employee, and then they wouldn't be required to have minutes.
Because that's not enough from what he said that kicks off being a public meeting.
Correct. Okay. Back to Greenwald. He's defending all of this. And by the way, everyone got up. This is a long vid.
It was a long meeting.
Well, this section of it. This was the longest part of the city council meeting. I did upload it to the YouTube channel. It's kind of interesting. I put it in the show notes. I advise watching it because it's definitely very interesting. And so everyone got up. Greenwald finally has an opportunity to defend himself because he's kind of looking like a bad actor right now.
And, you know, maybe I just want to really speak up a little aggressively that I do object to allegations, insinuations that there's been something sneaky or underhanded going on here. Because, you know, just to share, you know, a very obvious fact, I have designed the previous processes of evaluation, and no one gave me any input on this. You know, it just happened. So, and this is a private process that goes on between this counsel and that employee. This is not something that is made public. If you're the differences between Councillor Clark's proposal, and I know we're discussing bringing it back to committee or not, is whether the committee chairs are the recipients of the information, or somehow it gets funneled directly into FOP. So if you don't like the original plan and you like the other one, then you have something to say and to react to. I think there's a really good plan in front of you.
I bet you do.
That's it. It does make it, as far as minutes are concerned, makes it easier. But as far as transparency, you know, this is, I don't even think they have to put this on the city agenda where we know who's getting evaluated in February or in March.
Well, it's a personnel matter.
And I don't know, because Clark mentioned something about it was embarrassing and there was kind of a something went down last year. I think people were yelling at each other. Who knows? Someone was dissatisfied with the work of one of the employees and there was yelling going on. That's all I can imagine.
Just from the vibe of what they were referring to and the rest of what they were saying?
Yeah.
Well, I've never had an interesting employee evaluation, and I've had hysterical employees on their good days, so I can imagine that some people have employee evaluations that are
bad.
Horrifying. Or, I don't know, like, I can't really imagine what... I don't know where there's a need right now for me, a member of the public, to know...
Well, that's not...
Or is it the city councilors?
The city, it most definitely should be the city councilors. They should be all involved. Should you actually see what's going on? No, that's not your job. That's why you elect these yahoos to do all that hard lifting for you. But you should be able to at least know that so-and-so has received an eval and he's still working here, so he must have done well. But, I mean, at this new plan, I don't even think you would know when the employees are being evaluated. All right,
I guess it would be around the month that they started working there.
Annually, or the end of whatever
the fiscal year is.
Yeah, but who knows what that is.
Maybe October.
Here's Clark's recommendation for moving it back, and the reasoning for moving it back to FOP for further discussion. Because we are not included, he says.
Under this proposed plan here, all of the other counselors would not be able to see the self-evaluation by the employees, would not be able to see what the goals that is, you know, that are discussed. We have implemented a council goals committee to try to come up with goals to present to our charter employees, to work with them throughout the year to see what we can do in steps to implement our master plan. And if we're not even able to see how these employees are going to implement those plans, which this particular plan here shuts you out of, you're not going to get to be able to see that. You're going to get to see the blank evaluation forms. And you're going to be able to fill out these blank forms without any knowledge on how the employee feels about it, what they've done last year. You know, I've been here, this is my seventh year, and over those times I've always gotten a narrative from the charter employee of what they did last year and what they hope to do next year. You're not going to be able to see that, according to this. You're going to get a blank form, and you're just going to be able to ask questions or make input for some, you know, not knowing what they feel.
Make sense?
Yeah.
And I agree. The new process, whether it, you know, it is, I know it's, you know, orderly and it states points of interest that can be followed every single year.
Yeah.
But it does take a lot of the counselors out of the picture, out of the process, and I think that I think they should be there. So this is going back to FOP committee, I believe, on the 8th. That's next week.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, if you're watching this and that's something, this is something that interests you, I'm not going to go. I'll watch it as usual at home on the...
I trust them all to do the right thing. Well, that's kind of soul-crushing.
Why is soul-crushing?
I think...
Because it was something that was going to slip through the cracks and no one was going to notice?
I can barely wrap my head around either plan. I can feel the sense that Terry Clark is trying to convey. But in general, in my experience with jobs and goals and employee evaluations, it's all kind of BS. It's an HR infestation of work that needs to get done. There's so much work hours at my last job put into evaluating mm-hmm. our goals and talking about our goals and being able to use the really expensive computer-based, web-based platform to enter in your goals because it's not the same as the other system that you use for all the other different stuff you have to do. So it's all kind of like a big layer of a scheme that we all have to participate in because a lot of women are in the workforce and are afraid to ask for a raise themselves or put themselves out there. And I've been somebody like this too, where I've been like, oh, if I had actually stood up for myself and said what I wanted to do in this company, I'd probably be on my way there. But instead, we don't ask for raises. We don't try to, you know, get work done. That's just this layer of hand-holding towards nirvana.
It's all, in my book, it's all fake. And the biggest part of the process that has always bothered me was the setting of goals, especially when you're just like a minion and you just got an exceeded expectation. So it's like, I got to set goals now. I'm doing my goals every day. I'm doing a good job. I'm showing up on time. You just said I'm doing awesome. Now you want to I have to create something. I have to fabricate some made up goals because I'm already exceeding everything else.
Well, at least your company will give you an exceeds expectations. Cause I've been at a company that was like, no, everybody gets meet expectations, but our expectations are really high.
Yeah.
So it's like you did exceed.
Speaking of the whole HR philosophy, the HR system, trying to work my way through some of the school board meetings so we can start talking about them, especially considering mm-hmm. that the budget is coming up earlier next year.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly that whole panel is nothing but HR specialists, and they're devising these methods of testing the kids to see how well they're doing so they can prove themselves competent.
That sounds very similar to what I told you a couple days ago when I had to watch. You made me watch.
I asked you.
Well, I didn't do anything that day, so it kind of felt like I had to. But you know
what I'm talking about, though.
No, I told you this.
No, I picked up on the exact same vibe. It's that's the reason I can actually sit and watch these city council meetings. They're actually becoming more and more entertaining. That
as
little
you
piece.
Get as you pick up more stuff and you have more familiarity, mm-hmm. then yeah.
The clips that we're just going through, like I said, just the tip of the iceberg on the whole hour meeting. Very entertaining. To me, anyways, but these school board meetings where they're talking about proficiency and evaluating the students to make sure that they're, you know, they're going to be competent once they graduate. Oh, God, I mean, they're hard to watch. They are really hard. And they're so droll, too. And they're talking all slow and there's no energy.
Well, what I remember from watching it is that it sounded like they were trying to come up with HR standards mm-hmm. of reverse engineering and anti-engineering somebody's job So, like, what is that kid's job? It's to learn, you know, multiplication tables for a third grader. And instead of just getting down to the, you can do, you know, your nines tables in 10 seconds or something. And if you can do that, then you're good. If not, you fail or whatever. If you do them in 30 seconds, then you're okay. And if you can't do them at all, then you fail. It's into, you know, utilizes math concepts and stuff like that. And, you know, it really reminded me of my last job, which consisted of literally, it was the burger flipping of professional jobs. I mean, I was folding pieces of paper 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. And it was a really great job for what it was at the cost of, you know, my soul and my brain. But there was just so much competency and standards and proficiencies baked into can you fold paper good? And it's the same, like, and, you know, when we're complaining about, like, school boards going, meetings going on and on about proficiency and standards and competencies and all that, we're not, I mean, I'm not saying I want kids to be dumb and I don't care that they're not learning stuff.
But is all of this
It's not actually necessary. Yeah, it's not necessary because it doesn't actually look at the kid as an individual, and I'm not an individualist.
Right. I'm glad you said that because the way I see it, it's when I hear these people talking about the kids, mm-hmm. I get the feeling they're talking about drones. They're talking about machines who they're going to pump back out into society to get a job and pay taxes so that the rest of us, so that entitlements and society can succeed. Because without these drones, you know, refreshing the bloodline, the system, you know, we're all going to fail. But I mean, yeah, but it definitely, they're like tools.
They're like captive consumers.
And that's what when these people voted into office to represent the schools, when they're talking about the system, that's what it sounds like to me. And that's one of the reasons I could never, I would never be able to put a kid through that system. I don't care how many brand new buildings you have set up with glass ceilings, like the elementary school here in Keene.
Middle school.
I couldn't put them through that.
Well,
the process is just, it's dumbing. It is straight dumbing of the children's.
You'll have to speaking just find schools, some kid to home, some... Never mind.
Speaking of the schools, and I'm surprised that this has not come to Keene yet. Shauna, you've got a theory on this. Candia, New Hampshire, our neighbors to the north. Back in May, there was a policy that was submitted, a transgender bathroom policy. And it got some backlash. It was passed 4-1. Local parents were not happy with it. A local parent has proposed a citizen petition warrant article signed by 179 residents asking voters to repeal a controversial transgender student policy adopted by the school board earlier this year. I looked at the population of Candia. There's like 2,000. Maybe it's 3,000.
Not important right now.
Well, no, actually, no, it's 4,000.
It's almost 4,000.
3,900. It is important because they were able to get 179 signatures from a low population town. I get 25 signatures every year for warrant articles for our meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time doing it. And then you go to the meeting and there's 100 people at the meeting. You know, they already doubled that with just signatures. So that tells me that this is a... You know,
very popular.
It's a popular. It's sensational.
It's very popular. I don't even know if it's sensational. I mean, the entire policy that came out in May was in response to the hysteria produced by the media over the North Carolina state sets the minimum wage. The county sets the minimum wage. Not the city.
Correct. That wasn't about
that. Also included some nonsense about transgender bathroom. That's a accommodation.
Yes. That blew up. It wasn't about transgender. They just slipped in.
It was a minimum wage law.
No, when you put two bills together like that, a rider bill, and it's bullcrap, and that they should be illegal. Let me go back to the May article. I didn't realize I didn't want to read the updated one. Candia School Board voted 4-1 to adopt a policy aimed at protecting transgender students from discrimination, despite strong opposition from parents and other residents at a meeting Thursday night. Nearly 100 people turned out for the meeting at Henry W. Moore School to speak on the new policy that addresses the needs of transgender students and those described as gender nonconforming. The most controversial section of the policy is one that allows transgender and gender nonconforming students access to a restroom that corresponds to their gender identity, meaning that a boy who consistently identifies as a girl could use the girl's restroom and vice versa. The policy, which was recently tabled by both the Auburn and Hooksett school boards, also stated that any student who wants to increase privacy should be provided access to a single stall restroom. Yes, and you're right. This has come up because of the incident, in other states. Even though Candia does not have any transgender or gender nonconforming students, they are setting this up for the future. And by the way, and I'm surprised
there's not going to be a future if they teach their kids that everyone's transgender.
I'm surprised that. Yes,
might as well put all the girls through college. There's some birth control for you.
Considering how progressive Keene is, I'm so surprised that this hasn't come up yet. And you said what did you think about that? You said that you don't think that they are as progressive that they really think they are?
I don't think Keene is as progressive as they think they are in the public stuff. I think there's a lot of people who are not believing in that stuff, but I think there's basically a silent majority of people that don't believe in what, and I'm, whatever, I don't care. I don't want to put my kids through public schools anyway, so this wouldn't be my problem in that situation. But I don't care. And I think there's a lot of people who spout generally liberal stuff to not be accused of being, in this case, I don't know, homophobic, transphobic, xenophobic.
But really deep down inside, they're really conservative.
But when it comes to the idea of, I mean, I think the media story earlier this year against the transgender policy was very strong. It depicted an old dude dressed like a pervert, and it was like, this dude is going to be near your daughter. And people kind of stopped with their whole, I want to look nice in front of my liberal friends who said the nice thing first. And, you know, I think it's that. I'm sure the college will... I'm sure Keene State already has, something.
A third bathroom stall
for nonconforming. Stall. I don't know.
A fifth. I'll put the actual policy, which passed 4-1, in the show notes, so you guys can look at it. The restroom accessibility reads as such: students shall have access to the restroom that corresponds to their gender identity, consistently asserted at school.
How long is consistent?
Not a clue. A week. Any student who has a need or desire for increased privacy regardless of the underlying reason should be provided access to a single stall restroom, but no student shall be required to use such a restroom. And of course,
if they got rid of that first sentence, there would not be any issue at all, I don't think.
Just start up the third bathroom stall and with no gender requirements.
Yeah, just as one at a time. Regardless of
you know, kind of like they do everywhere else in the world, at least at like work and what, maybe not the public bathrooms, but at work.
Yep.
Typically, it's one bathroom, and we all share it. When you're out at an event out in the woods, get porta potties. Everyone's sharing porta potties. Never been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is silly. There's also a clause for locker room accessibility, and they shall be assessed on a case-by-case basis. So I guess you could also be...
You're going to have to convince the school nurse that you're whatever is going on with you.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm kind of both sides on it, whether Keen will do this or not.
It's got to happen. They're seeing... Like the blue line, they're looking at what other communities are doing. Oh, we've got to get one of those. We've got to get one of those blue lines.
Well, but who's going to be the first one to actually do it? Because as soon as
Portsmouth is better.
As soon as somebody's kid leaves high school, people don't care about the school anymore. And they're kind of right to, because anybody who doesn't have kids in the school system is told to shut up and give them their money. So, you know, but I have... You know, been around kids who went to Keen High and they're not gender conforming at all.
No,
so,
I have a young snowflake millennial and she's, you know, she doesn't know what she is because that's what she was around. That's what she learned.
So what it would come down to is somebody who is like that, bringing it up themselves on behalf of, or, you know, it would be, what's the chance that there's a parent in Keene who's going to bring that up?
Well, and that's a good point, because I'm wondering how this was adopted in Candia. Am I saying that right, too? Is there Candia?
I've always heard Candia.
Candia.
Who knows?
How was it brought up? Were they looking at other communities like, hey, we got to do that? Or did someone mention it? I'm thinking it was probably one of these school boarders, and that's why they run for school boarders, because they have these great ideas and they want to bring them to the table. I'm thinking that's exactly what will happen here in Keene. By the way, Joe in chat thinks it's a conspiracy by the plumbers union.
So they have to build more stalls?
They have to build more bathrooms. It's a conspiracy. So anyways... be expecting to see this on the ballot in Candia come March as a warrant article repealing this policy, and considering how many people have come out and spoken against this, it's probably going to pass. The repeal will probably pass flying colors, and we'll definitely be talking about those results. I did notice that one thing that bothers me, however you feel about this, whether you're pro or against, the having three bathrooms, the third bathroom, the second someone goes and uses that, they are identifying themselves as different. You're not going to solve this equality. You're not going to fix this, make kids feel better about themselves. That the first thing you're doing is give them a special bathroom so they can go and feel weird.
Well, the other jerk kids in the high school are going to be like, hey, you're going to the gay bathroom. Hey,
yeah,
you're gay.
Because kids are...
Or whatever.
Kids are
they
horrible.
They probably would say something a lot worse than that and a lot stupider. So, And that...
I'm sorry.
It's all a scam. I got nothing.
Oh, I was gonna click on that.
It's all ironic at this point. Oh, it's just northwest of Manchester.
Yes, it's northwest of...
that's not that far.
Not that far. It's right there. It's creeping. It's catching up. So just north, and speaking of north, just north of us here in Keene,
Senior housing project?
It's called the Hillside Village Complex. It includes a senior housing, assisted living, and a nursing home up on 40 acres north of us, did get the go-ahead. They've been working on this for quite some time. It's up there on Wyman Road. There were some issues concerning the slope that included some of the property.
Mm-hmm.
There's some ordinance where you got to get special permission or a waiver to build on a certain slope.
Why'd you just knock the slope down?
Which would require digging, which would require a permit and all this and that. It was also an issue,
yeah.
And we went and looked at it yesterday. It looks like it's very low, low lands. It looks like it was probably standing water 10 years ago. I know there's a river going right through there. The farm is actually on a little bit of a hill.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the property we saw was looked like marshlands. But anyways, they needed to get a waiver to build on that. Because of the fact, because there's an ordinance that says that you certain things that you can't do. I did catch some videos of the some of the issues. Where are we at? So Gary Spykman, chairman of the planning board, did have some issues with providing those waivers, those exemptions, and here he is.
I do have a lot of concerns about this particular location for this particular facility. And I know that the applicant has done a lot to address these issues, but we're being asked here tonight not just to look at the 19 standards, but also to grant them a waiver from one of those standards and two conditional use permits. I take this stuff fairly fairly strongly. I mean, there's a reason why we have items in our regulations and why we have hillside protection ordinances and surface water protection ordinances. And it's not just to automatically grant waivers and conditional use permits to go outside of them. You know, the reason why these things exist is because this city has seen a need for these ordinances. And looking at the arguments of the applicant, I'm not convinced that we should be granting these waivers and conditional use permits.
And by the way, I think that surface water ordinance was just put in place last year or the year before. And it really makes it hard to build anywhere near water. You got to get special permission. If you're a certain distance from the river or the pond or the stream, it makes it very difficult. And not making it very easy to do things in Keene, which we kind of have a bad record of with as far as, you know, building new, erecting new projects here in the area.
Well, the name of the video is a lot of concerns. A lot of concerns, and I expected him to.
There's more concerns.
Lay out, you know, what the problem is with the applications.
Okay, there's more. There's more concerns coming up.
Because all that he was saying,
I cut
was
some
just
stuff because it was too long. But his big problem was, all right. So you have the surface water protection, and then you have the hillside building thing.
Mm-hmm.
His whole spiel was, you wouldn't have this problem if you hadn't decided to build so big. He's like, you need to downsize, and you won't have these problems. And you won't have to worry about getting exemptions. He also had a problem with the way that the master plan. There's some statements in the master plan that prevent this project.
It says, as our population ages, we should be working toward the creation of a community that integrates, not separates, all ages into the fabric of community life.
Oh, that sounds like
once again,
a horrible
I see this
plan.
As separating. It is putting the community of our elderly outside of our center city.
What about West Berlin Senior Home? Aren't they out in the boonies?
They're
far, far from everywhere.
Yeah.
Have you actually seen that place?
Nope.
these are so silly. It's beautiful up there. You've got companies. You've got a couple of houses on the road. It's a perfect spot. Where are you gonna put it downtown? There's nothing available. I think that's whatever. Talk about the surface water ordinance, but the keeping the seniors in town. It's just so silly. Spykman was the only one to come out and say anything about he had these concerns, these issues with the process. And everyone else was favorable. But
of course.
Who's going
to say no to the old people?
Well, it's odd because the reason I really took notice of this particular situation is because these guys really do vote lockstep all the time. It might be like one guy who like always votes one way.
Yeah.
And in the past week, I've found two great occurrences of them disagreeing with each other, and it makes it entertaining for one thing. But it's nice to see that they're not all you know, of a like mind, and they do have their own opinions and all. However,
but when they vote lockstep.
However, so. Yeah, exactly, and that is going to be in my third video of Mr. Gary Spykman.
And we are ready for the vote. All in favor? There it is. I'm going to go with it in the end. I'm not going to go against my fellow board members at this juncture. I stand where I stand, but I'm going to vote with you all.
Then you're not standing anywhere.
I do not think he was very happy about that. Looking at his expression when that was over, he had an idea.
What did he think was going to happen? He was voting for it, too. I stand where I stand, but I vote with you guys. Well, then, no, you're not standing anywhere. You're just posing.
I have a feeling. I've noticed this from one of the younger counselors who seems to always vote with the party, even though he has his own mind. He has his own ideas.
Oh, I bet he does.
He does.
Can't really tell because you can't go by any of his votes. You got to watch like 800 hours of watching his every move.
These guys are fearful of how they're going to be portrayed the next day. Here I am talking schmack about these guys all the time.
Yeah.
And all I'm really doing is playing their videos. I'm not really talking all that much.
I'm the one complaining about them mostly.
And they're fearful of how they're going to be portrayed in the newspaper because the newspaper picks up a lot of these. They didn't pick up the Sentinel, where were you? You didn't pick the evaluation one up. I got that.
Because it's difficult.
I also got the political science.
They exist primarily for advertising fictitious business name notices.
Yeah, but these are interesting.
They're not. There's no monetary. There's no money to be had in interesting. There's money to be had in advertising, which they sell. Mm-hmm. There's money to be had in being paid to publish press releases by companies and by historical societies. But there's no, that's why there was no article by the Sentinel about the employee evaluation, because it's boring. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying it's difficult. It's difficult for me to follow.
Oh, God. I'm not going to lie. I had to watch. I watched both of them. I watched the original one from earlier last month and the city council one just to get a grasp, because it really is kind of,
I mean, convoluted. The meetings that the Sentinel does report on is basically free content. What are they going to be? What's the reporter doing that night anyways?
Yeah. Well, I know the one girl seems to be doing her nails or something while she's there.
Well, she's a smart one and I'm not.
Well, you should take up knitting or something. Don't you have games on your...
I look old enough as it is.
Don't you have games on your phone that you can play while you're at these meetings? We don't go to these meetings anyways. I watch them at home from the comfort of my soft chair. So, yeah. I mean, if you have a feeling, if you're going to come out... And he talked for, 5 minutes on all the concerns he had with this project, this complex going up. And then he sits there and votes lockstep with the rest of them because like I said, what is he worried about? Stand up for your beliefs.
I think it's more along the lines of a group of little girls in middle school who are told to not bully that ugly girl or the fat girl or the poor one. And, one of them is actually kind of a human. And she's like, yeah, that's really terrible. And then just joins in with them anyways because she doesn't want to be singled out. Mm-hmm. But, when you say, they're afraid of what's going to happen in the news the next day in the Sentinel. Well, then why do they say anything? Why do they speak up against it before voting with everybody? Hmm. Why do they even get out of bed in the morning? I mean, literally, when he says, or not literally, but I mean it, when he says, oh, I'm taking a stand, but I'm going to vote again with you guys, it's not taking a stand.
Right.
It's, don't believe your lying eyes, people. It's not taking a stand. And if he had voted against it, if he had voted along with what he had said before, if his vote had been his stand, he would have still been overruled. They would have voted, they would have overwhelmed him anyways.
And maybe and he knew that. He knew that going into the vote.
So,
and possibly he just didn't want to be the one vote that would get talked about the next day.
What else are you doing with your day?
Well,
stay in bed. Stay in bed if you can't.
They did spend another 2 hours at that. It was a long meeting. I didn't even get to finish watching it, and I have to too, because the last meeting was concerning the apartment complex here, right next to us, on the triangle of the little triangle of land next to the 7-Eleven.
Okay,
I'm gonna have to watch that because the city's not wanting it. Because it's
better take a stand,
because it's going to require a zoning exemption because we're low density.
Well, they better take a stand.
I want to give a plug to
Get out of bed.
A very interesting article I read in the Day's Sentinel. John McGauley usually writes. He's not a libertarian, or he has some liberty friendly ideas. And he knows how to rock the boat. He does a good job of it.
Mm-hmm.
He did write an article today concerning the state's pension scheme. The pension plan comes right out and calls it a Ponzi scheme. According to his information,
I have a problem with his article.
According to his information, they're already out $4 billion. If they stopped, if every teacher, fireman, police officer was to retire right now,
which isn't ever going to happen.
But that
it's not.
So it's $4 billion now. Next year, it's going to be $5 billion, and then it's going to keep going up.
And if an asteroid hit all the city employees or all the state employees, well, then funeral costs would go up.
Yeah,
so
definitely check that article out. I'll put it. I think I already put it in the Facebook stream.
Yeah,
it's very interesting. One point: it's not a Ponzi scheme because it's legal and it's backed by forced taxation. If it was a true Ponzi scheme,
uh-huh,
it would have gotten figured out a long time ago. Ponzi schemes don't last a long time. It becomes quickly noticeable mm-hmm, very quickly that there is a problem, that the money is not where it should be, and it gets figured out real quick, and then people are in jail. Bernie Madoff.
Okay.
How long was he doing this thing? 2 years, and we're out of time, babe.
Okay, I just want to say that I really understand the part about liberty ideas where you want to show how the world is going to come to an end. That proves the ideology right. But if you have to front forward finance your pension fund, then you're always going to be broke. Okay. All of the New Hampshire residents who work for state and local governments are not going to retire at the same time. They are not allowed to. They can quit, they can whatever, but it's just not how it works. It's like saying that, you know, if I had to pay my rent 12 years in advance up front, I'd be totally broke.
Yeah. Guys, thanks so much for watching. You've been watching Citizen Kane. Check out our website, citizenkane.org, and our Facebook page, the same name. Send your emails to me, show@citizenkane.org, or call that number anytime during the week and leave a message. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next week at the same exact time. Good evening.
I gotta take my contacts out.
Shauna has to take her contacts out before she claws them out.